Ooh, yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Hey, everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right over there between the demo and the ready room. This Friday, they have an all-new music happy hour going on. They'll have live vinyl spinning. They'll have, I think it's 10% off purchases, four hands, beer for those of age, and a huge shipment of new vinyl coming in, including Red Hot Chili Pepper, Stadium Arcadium album, Morrissey, the soundtrack to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Bad Religion, Ben Folds 5, David Bowie, all kinds of Sonic Youth, Kid Rock, Anthrax, the 1975, and more. So if you want to come down and check those out, get yourself a copy of that. Be sure to always check out their always growing local selection. There's tons of great CD, tape, and vinyl from your favorite local artist. And if you'd like to have your stuff on the shelves at Music Record Shop, be sure to reach out and talk to them about that. They're always willing to help out. So go down to Music Record Shop, find them online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Ruth Acuff, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, with Ruth Acuff.
Yeah.
And guest appearance here, hanging out, Drew Lance.
Woo.
Thanks for hosting, man. This is having us over here, second one in your living room over here.
Yeah, I think it's a good place for it.
Definitely, man. Yeah, it's a cool spot.
It's convenient for me.
Yeah, oh yeah, right. Come on over.
Right.
Yeah, we did the Good Deeds episode right here.
Yeah.
And that's probably a good place to start, because that's how I guess we all kind of came to get to know each other.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Ruth was in town with Jeff, and you played the Letter to Memphis and Good Deeds.
That was my first time playing with Letter to Memphis as well.
Yeah.
So,
and that was over at Off Broadway, which is a great place. I love that room.
Yeah, it was a good.
Yeah,
sound.
That
is
was
wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That was the first time I had played there.
Yeah.
It was great.
So yeah, that was just an awesome night. I think might have been. So I knew Letter to Memphis pretty well, and I think that might have been the first night I got to see Good Deeds live, and then and of course got to meet Ruth that night. So that was I was blown away. I was the first I'd ever seen anybody play harp on stage, and I was super, just amazed. It was really a great show from beginning to end, but it was a real treat to caught you play that night, and so I think I might have mentioned something that night about we should get together and do one of these.
Yeah, you did.
And then a little bit later, two months go by, or whatever it is it's been, and you're back in town here, so here we are.
Yeah, and that was the night also that Jeff and I met Drew, and we saw him playing with both the other bands.
Yeah.
And I had been calling a passionate percussionist into my reality for like the past year.
Yeah.
And I was watching Drew play, and I was like, very interesting. He's playing with a drum kit type sound, but he's not playing a full drum kit. Sometimes drum kits with my harp, they just overpower it.
Right.
So I thought it was really cool, his setup. And then afterwards we were talking and we just...
Well, I remember coming up to you and being like, obviously, like, that was great and telling you how impressed I was, but then also being like, hey, so, like, what if somehow we got together and played one time? And you were just like, yeah. And I totally was taken aback because I was thinking you'd give me, like, a, oh, yeah.
And then never
talk to me again.
Instead, I was like, yes, I actually have a list of instruments I would like you to play.
I was like, great, man. Hey, I sing, too, because I wasn't singing in that show. But I was like, I also do this. I was doing anything I could for her to say yes.
Yeah, I think it was within 24 hours of that time period. I sent you a picture of my notebook that had this list.
Yeah,
of
right.
Like cajon, djembe, cymbals, shakers, and had rain stick on there.
Right.
And
that's why I have these things now. I got chimes, I got a rain stick. I had pretty much everything else on the list besides a conga, and I was thinking about buying one of those.
Did I have a conga?
Yeah.
I
buy one, but they were expensive, and I don't really like to play conga, but I had the djembe, and...
You don't have a steel drum. That's on my list.
I don't, but I plan to buy one because they are getting cheaper, and I want one. Those, because that's tonal, and then you had bells on there, too, yeah. And I have a bell kit, so I was like... Most of these things, I can tell her I already have, and then I can lie and say I have the other things, and then over time I'll pick them up before I end up playing with her. Because right. She gave me a lot of time in advance to figure it out.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's a full load there, though, carrying all that, all the different...
Yeah, for me, I'm used to being quick in and out with my setup.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a...
Well, that was like my dream list, you know, like, this is the percussionist of my dream.
I was like, I gotta be that, or else I'm not gonna be able to play with her.
How do you even get to playing harp? I mean, like, where's that all begin at?
A lot of harpists start when they're young, like, very young. Although I did recently discover that Harpo Marx started in his 20s, and he's thought of as one of the greatest mm-hmm. harpists. So that was inspiring to me because I also started in my 20s. But I played guitar. I started playing guitar when I was 15, and I had always written poetry and sang. And I had a friend that had a crush on a boy who played guitar. And so she was like, let's learn how to play guitar. And I just thought, I like to sing. That could be fun.
Sure.
So we started playing guitar together. And then I just kept doing it. And I performed and played out and wrote songs. And then, and really kind of did my best in my ignorant ways of, you know, thinking, I'm going to be a professional musician and it's going to be so awesome and easy, which is not true, I think, for most musicians. So I tried that and I met my husband Jeff, and he started out as my bass player and then became my husband eventually. And we started a band together called Rutherford, and we played for a while and released two albums. And then I decided nobody cared about music anymore. I was just going to quit. So I quit music. It was, you know, a hard time in my life. A downward fall, I guess.
Yeah.
And I quit music for 2 years, and I was a full-time nanny. And then I realized, well, then I went into a pawn shop. And I saw a little full carp, and I strummed it, and it was this instant zing of magic, I guess. And I bought this little full carp, and pretty much said to my husband, I'm going to play this harp for myself.
How much did that cost?
It cost $150.
What is a, what's a folk harp?
It's
just a small harp. Right?
Yeah, like a Celtic harp.
Oh, like the ones that kind of like hold.
Yeah. You hold a lap, well, I guess maybe a lap harp. It's small. It has 22 strings. It's probably 2.5 feet tall. And I bought it. I wrote a couple songs on it and performed out with them, just like at open mics and parties and stuff like that. And then realized that I could be a lot better at it if I practiced and if I learned how to play, because it was quite different than playing guitar. So I just Googled my hometown, which is Columbia, Missouri, harp instructors, and I found a lady who taught harp, called her up. She told her I had a harp, and she was impressed that I had a harp, and so we set up a meeting, went to see her. Turns out it would be like taking a toy piano to a concert pianist, like a world-class concert pianist. This lady knows how to play the harp. Right. She's from the Slavic Republic and has a degree in harp and harp performance. And so she saw my little harp and she kind of made this face like, oh, this is your harp? And I was like, yeah, it's so cool. I love it. I had no idea. And I strummed it and I had it in tune, and she was impressed that I had it in tune. So she agreed to accept me as her student, and she said she would teach me on this little harp until I saved up for the smallest size harp that she teaches on. So that's what I did. And that's also a lever harp, but it was 34 strings and more professional, you know, like a real harp, not quite so much of a toy. And I played that for 4 years, and she taught me so much.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's been a year and a half. I moved up to the pedal harp, which is quite different than the lever harp in a sense that you can play in any key whenever you want, much easier. Mm-hmm. You just use your feet to move the pedals, 7 pedals, and can play in every key. But yeah, it's also quite, I'm glad that I started where I did and worked my way up, because, well, price of harps is huge. I mean, I got my little folk harp for $150, but then pedal harps are quite a bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I proved to myself that I really wanted to do it before I moved up to that level of investment in an instrument.
Well, I think that's probably with anything, though. I mean, you know, guitar, you're probably going to start with a low-level acoustic or something instead of starting with a, you know, Gibson Les Paul or something. You know, like,
right, definitely.
So you're going to work your way up.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is crazy. Just looking at, I mean, you know, watching you perform earlier on the show here, and then just looking at it, it's just a beautiful piece of you know, as an instrument, and all the woodworking and then all the everything on it. It's very neat to.
It's quite amazing just because of all the parts.
Right.
Involved. Yeah. The pedal harp has over 2,000 working, moving parts, the modern day pedal harp. So it's mechanical, very mechanical.
Yeah, sure.
And I guess to repair it, it's pretty.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I have a rental harp right now. What I played on the show tonight, because my harp, I took it all the way, you know, to the northwest, played in like 15 different states, get back home, and it falls over in my driveway. I was moving it by myself, and I just felt terrible. It sounded like a piano falling from the top of a building when it fell over. I just had this, like, rock in my stomach as soon as I heard it. This gut-wrenching feeling.
Yeah.
So, that was a big ordeal. But luckily I have harp insurance. That's the thing. And it's totally reasonable. Like, it would be silly not to have HARP insurance. So that that made it that made it worth it, I guess. And so now I have a rental harp that I'm playing while my harp is being repaired in Chicago.
So I guess it was salvageable?
Yeah.
It wasn't too damaged?
Yeah. It just had a cracked knee block is what it's called. It's like the part that leans sort of against my shoulder up above my head. It was cracked, and over time it could possibly split and break, and that wouldn't be good. So right. I thought, let's get it done, let's get it fixed, and I'm hopefully as soon as I get it back, I'm going to go right into recording, so it's going to sound the best it's ever sounded.
Yeah. What's a harp weigh? I've never even...
Well, they vary, but I would say maybe around 78 to 80 pounds for average pedal harp. So, I mean, that's not too bad. You get some pretty heavy amplifiers that could be comparable. Really, it's just the shape that makes it difficult to move around.
So you get some pretty big muscles from... lugging around then?
I don't know about that. I have a harp dolly that has wheels.
Yeah.
Although I just got back from a conference that I had to walk my harp. I didn't think it was going to be such a big deal, but I had to walk it like across this walkway from hotel to hotel every day. And whew. it was exhausting. It was a workout for sure.
Yeah, you were telling me a bit about this conference off mic. You wanna talk about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, I just went to my first International Folk Alliance conference. So folk musicians from all over the world come to join together and perform and play music. And there's also presenters and media there. And pretty much like 1,500 to 2,000 musicians. And during a 4 or 5 day span, within pretty much any point within 24 hours, there's 200 shows going on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But it's amazing. They're short sets. Like, some of them do like riders in the round, and some of them do 20, 25 minute sets. But it's so fun when you're not playing your own set. They take three floors of hotels, and every room has a different act in it.
Yeah.
And you can just walk down the hallway and step into a room and hear amazing music from really, really great musicians from around the world. So I got to hear a group from England that had a harp in it. There were four harpists. At the conference, I kind of seek out harpists.
Sure.
So I found out there were four, including myself. One from Kansas City, one from England, and one from Scotland.
Wow.
And then myself.
Is that like an invite-only thing, or how does that work?
No. Well, you can pretty much buy a ticket to attend, and media and people that own venues or run house concerts will sometimes go and they'll book their whole year from attending this conference and seeing like, oh, okay, I like them, I like them, I like them. Okay, let's book them.
Yeah.
And then you can apply for showcases. If you get an official showcase, I think you get a discount on your price to get in. And then if you're a member of the Folk Alliance, there's also discounted rates for that.
Yeah.
Which there are other benefits to being part of the Folk Alliance.
You do much of that home shows?
Yes.
House concerts and stuff?
Yeah. Let's see. In October, I went on a house concert tour with a friend of mine, great singer-songwriter, pianist named Mary Ellen Kirk. And we went through all the way to Washington State, almost up to Canada, and made a loop. I think we went through 12 states on that tour, and we played mostly house concerts, which is really nice, especially for the kind of music that I play on the harp.
Yeah.
And much more sustainable often as a growing musician, mm-hmm. to be able to keep surviving,
sure.
than playing, you know, at a bar.
Yeah.
At a neighborhood bar.
So. I talked about it before on the show, but I recently went to my first house concert a little while back. It was kind of a weird thing at first, because a guy I like, Kevin Gordon, he's a singer-songwriter out of Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and I follow him on Bands in Town, and that's what kicked up the event. And so I RSVP'd on there, and then I'm like looking at it, and it says like Kelly House or something, and I was like, all right, never, I don't know what that is. And then like I kind of got to looking, and then I found like a Facebook form and stuff, and then I realized that, yeah, it was, you know, their own home, and that they was like a $15 or $20, you know, just cash at the door or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I got to I emailed them, I guess, and I was like asking about, you know, hey, is it cool if I come over to the show, you know, and they're like, yeah, of course. And then they're like, yeah, usually we do like a potluck kind of thing, everybody bring a dish and kind of this. So I was like, oh, cool. So but just going to that show at their home, and that experience of meeting them, meeting Kevin, and like I think he might have played a little bit and like took a break, and we kind of snacked and stuff, and then we went back and played a couple more,
yeah.
something kind of like that. But it was just a really neat experience of just you know, actually getting a lot more personal experience with meeting everybody and stuff, and instead of just paying to go to a show at a bar or whatever
right.
it is. So.
You really get to meet the artist and talk with them, and you also get to have a supreme listening experience mm-hmm. without, you know, clattering of beer bottles or coffee makers or
sure.
whatever. So your sound experience.
Do you guys travel with a PA or?
No. Yeah, actually, we do travel with a small PA, and sometimes we use it, and sometimes we don't.
Yeah, right on.
We really like to use it for vocals, especially when we're.
Yeah.
We try to play a show every single night, so we're not just wasting time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're singing every night, sometimes you get tired.
Yeah.
So it's good to not press your voice too much. It's nice mm-hmm. to have a little backup sound system.
Yeah. Well, let's plug some of your stuff. So all your music is on your website and ruthacuff.bandcamp.com.
Yes, that's right. And I also just have ruthacuff.com.
Yeah.
ruthacuff.com. Or you can go to my Bandcamp site. I also... Now, this is the first time I'm announcing it, but I have my music on Amazon and Google Play and iTunes and Spotify
yeah.
and all that stuff.
I know, because I Spotify'd you.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh
I Spotify anybody
I haven't
I
told
to
anybody
it.
That just because I don't know. I sort of have
it's necessary
this.
Evil.
Yeah. I guess I have avoided that market for a while, mm-hmm. and I realized I shouldn't.
Yeah.
At this point.
It's not really worth it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my buddies wrote on Facebook something about they were looking to go in and record a new song or something like that. And they were like, yeah, so if you guys could just go on our Spotify and listen to the old stuff and just loop it for like 800 times a piece, we might be able to afford to pay for the new song, the new recording
just
and stuff.
Loop.
Yeah.
yeah.
like, but,
or
know,
fractions of cents
sure.
of a dollar. Just
right.
yeah.
It's the sad reality of it, though. Like, I mean, you know, that how, you know, how much the artists are not getting paid off of those Spotify plays and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great tool. I've just, even Pandora and a couple, you know, those various things. Like, yeah. I've discovered a lot of great music through that. And it's, I buy albums. So, like, if I hear yes. something and I really like it, I'll go to the show and I buy the CDs from mm-hmm. the artist or on their thing, whatever it is. But I would hope that I'm not alone in that. Hopefully more people are actually... So I think, you know, if you're looking at it, Spotify, okay, there's only a couple pennies, but hopefully that right. in turn means more people are going out and buying a ticket to the show and buying the CDs and other things like that.
So. Honestly, I think it goes over most people's heads to think that far. It's yeah. just convenient to have Spotify because yeah. you can do all these things. You can make a playlist and this, sure. that, and the other. And people my age, I mean... They don't even think to buy the album because that's yeah. so outdated now.
Right.
But, I mean, also, I think a lot of people my age are starting to revert back to things like vinyl mm-hmm. and things like CDs. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's hope. I do now. I've just bought a record player and finally am buying vinyls. And I really, really like it now. Like, yeah. to have to do that, you know, and to be able to go to all the cool record shops around here because there's so many. And,
sure. Well, there's something about it though. I mean, it's more, you know, it's more of an experience, you know. You,
absolutely.
And so it's even to have a CD, you know, vinyl is a whole different beast, but like that, just to have that tangible product, to have a hold of a CD and read the liner notes and yes. look at the art and everything, it's more, you know, instead of just skipping a song on Spotify or whatever, you know, it's right. like
that's the reason I like the vinyl more though, because you can skip a song on a CD, you can't yeah. really skip a song right. on a vinyl, you gotta listen to the whole side
yeah.
to find sure. it, or if you, I guess if you know, you can put it kind of yeah. near yeah.
Drop the needle yeah. in the middle somewhere
yeah right and then
but it sort of forces you to have this experience
right
how the artist yeah. would want you to
yeah and I feel like that's
there's also things like you can change I have like a Father John Misty album up there that you change the speed to it
yeah.
for it, and that's really cool. It gives it a whole different sound, and yeah. it's really cool. I think you have to put it on 44 and it's a 33, so
yeah,
it gets like way higher.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
But I mean, and I think too that's something, you know, there's we do kind of live in that era now where people are putting out singles, you know, you listen mm-hmm. in pop music and stuff, mm-hmm. especially, you know, like. That those people aren't really necessarily putting out a full record full of great stuff.
It's no.
people are, you know, and that's where the iTunes and the things like that are, that's what they were great for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I feel like, especially in folk music and a lot of other, you know, there's a lot of people out there still putting out albums, you know.
Yeah.
It's an album, you know, beginning to end, even if it's an EP or whatever it is, but it's still... It's those songs were paired together for a reason,
mm-hmm.
or there's a story that, or something there. There's some kind of that goes through the whole album or EP, it's nice to listen to it as a complete package instead of just that picking out a song in the middle or whatever it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it is, especially if you have already discovered you like this artist yeah. and you want to hear them, you want to know what they're all about. It's nice to hear it all yeah, like that
for sure. So good on Ruth's website and grab some of those
I have my shows listed on there too. Yeah. I think, well, Drew and I are playing tomorrow for a festival here in St. Louis called the All Right Festival.
Yeah.
And then weekend after, we're doing True False Film Festival in Columbia. And they have also an amazing lineup of buskers before their films, and they'll have showcases. Their website is truefalse.org, and they'll have all the artists listed. They don't have the schedules up for the musicians. They do have the film's schedules listed, but I will post when we're playing. We'll be playing anywhere between probably 4 and 7 performances,
okay.
and it's the March 3rd through the 6th in Columbia, and I'll post all the info for those on my website.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're headed to Kansas City, St. Joseph area, And then...
Are we doing Kansas City for sure?
Not sure yet.
Okay. Well, we might be.
Yeah.
That's a process.
Mm-hmm. Did you, what'd you say, Cosmic Reunion or something?
Yeah, I've been in the spring. We're doing Cosmic Reunion in Astral Valley, I guess French Village, Missouri. I think their website is cosmicreunion.com. Mm-hmm. But I'll have that on my website as well. And yeah. That's the weekend of the 27th, 28th. I think there's a few days before mm-hmm. as well.
It's the cheapest festival around, too. As far as like a local camping festival, it's the cheapest one you can go to.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of art.
So we were talking about CDs, and I like to ask, because it's always fun to hear, but what do you recall your first CD you purchased?
Oh my goodness. I remember the first CD that I purchased really being excited about it was Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
Siamese Dream.
Okay.
That album.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
You big, big Pumpkins fan?
Yeah, I still like Smashing Pumpkins.
Sure. Yeah, I like, I don't know that I've ever listened to an album. I know, like, some of the hits and things, but Billy definitely got a very interesting voice, and he's a, you know, really talented artist, but, I don't know. I just I kind of missed that one. I'm not sure what, why or what it is, but I just never really listened to a ton of Smashing Pumpkins stuff. And I knew like I knew 1979.
That was my first,
and
really,
first CD that I was like, I'm going to buy this album.
I had a huge phase of just overplaying them.
Yeah.
Because I loved them.
Yeah.
Still.
You ever get to see them live?
No.
I got to see them at the Fox. That was pretty amazing.
Wow.
They have like 8 keyboards. They have so much going on. But it was a beautiful show.
I bet that was fun.
That was a couple years back, yeah.
So we talked about a little bit of your music too there, and you played a few of them live for us this evening. So let's talk about some of these songs. So you performed We Do, Right Now, and Cocoon, so I'll throw those in there. But what, how about, let's start with We Do. Where does that come from?
Well, that just happens to be one of the songs that I don't really talk about,
right.
What it's actually about. I think I have 2 songs like that, and that's one of them.
Is it just a personal connection to it, or what?
Yeah. I would be
get that. Like, I listen to a lot of his interviews with, listen to a lot of Howard Stern show, and he's a lot of my favorite artists, all over the, you know, playing on the show, and they all come on there, and I was actually just listening to, it was a repeat from, like, 2014, I think it was, where Sia was on there, and I'm not, you know, too familiar with some of her stuff. I knew she has written a lot of great songs for a lot of people, but yeah, she was talking about, like, that she wrote, Diamonds for Rihanna.
Oh, really?
And then she wrote... Anyway, so she has these songs, and, like, some of them, like, she has that super deep personal connection with them, and she doesn't like to, you know, give them away to people. But other songs she'll write, and she gives them to all these people and lets them sing them, and... Mm-hmm. And there was, so anyway, it's just, you know, some are more, a lot more personal, and you don't really, you know, care to share, but it's some, you know, whatever it is, but yeah.
Yeah, you want it out there, but let people interpret it as they will.
Sure. Yeah, like I said, even doing this, like, I ask these questions about the song.
By the way, these are my dogs.
Yeah, we're dog lovers.
They can't be quiet.
Right.
You can't do it.
But I do like just kind of knowing some of the stories, stuff like where, you know, how some of the inspiration that kind of, you know, led up to, you know. I don't ever really want to be told, hey, here's a song and this is what I was, you know, this is what I meant for you to feel during or anything like that. But it's kind of nice to know those. I, as a fan, I like hearing those kind of stories, like where, you know, where was that, you know, like that kind of things like that, where all these songs kind of come to life from.
Well, the second one we played was Right Now, and that song does have a story behind it, I suppose. I have been playing harp for about 5 years, and I wanted to be very good at the harp as quickly as possible. And, of course, I discovered I had to practice quite a bit to do that, and practice takes time and consistency. So, a lot of my songs are me telling myself what I need to hear. So, Right Now was what I need to hear to keep myself going, to get better at harp, which is pretty much like work for it and wait for it and work for it and wait for it. And, you know, like a plant growing.
Sure.
You put a seed in the ground and you want to see that flower bloom, or you want to taste that delicious jalapeno. But you have to wait. You have to let it grow and you have to water it and...
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen instantly. So that song's really about getting whatever it is that you want as a person. For me, I mean, I don't say in the song, I want to play the harp really bad, really good.
Yeah.
So I tried to make it open to... Yeah, everybody could relate to that, right? Doesn't everybody want to be amazing harpist? But I tried to make it a little more open-ended to whatever it is you want as a person and you're reaching for.
Thank you.
Songwriting is obviously, like I said, being a huge fan of singer songwriters, you get to, it's funny how, like, you hear them, like, they'll play a song, but all the metaphors and things like that, like, it, even though the lyrics, you read it and it says one thing, it's something completely different than what is the inspiration for it, though. Like, I was listening to Hall & Oates on Stern Show a little bit ago, mm-hmm. and they were talking about Maneater, and the song sounds like it's about they personalized it about about a woman, mm-hmm. and stuff, but it's really about New York City. Like, they were talking about moving there and, you know, trying to make it, and they say, mm-hmm. you know, the sound, it'll eat you up and everything else like that. So it's kind of interesting to know how. That's the take on the songwriting, is that they're thinking about the music and the city and everything, but they wanted to make it about something more personable and stuff. So it's really cool to hear some of that kind of stuff and how, you know, where these writers get the ideas and things. And what's the last one you did was
Cocoon.
Yeah, that's on your full length.
Yeah, that's the first song on my full length album, which is called This Is the Dream. And that song, well, the hook of it is, it's gonna be okay, which is once again me telling myself, it's gonna be all right. And I like to play that song when I'm in stressful situations or when I'm in a hurry and have to set up fast and rushing around. And then it's like, I'm sort of singing to myself, when you're wondering what you're doing, you know, what does it mean, mm-hmm. is it worth it, yeah. and sort of bring it back around to being like, take a deep breath, it's gonna be all right.
Yeah,
we're all in it together,
for sure. 2, 3, 4
Let the water flow around.
I've been feeling a little bit of that, even with the show now. Like, I've kind of talked about it the other night, but it's, you know, even doing the show, sometimes I'm wondering why I'm doing it, what I'm doing it for. Mm-hmm. I get frustrated that, you know, it's not quite, might not be quite where I would hoped it to be, or, you know, and these thoughts cross my mind, and sure. And things, and I, you know, I think I even relate more to artists now that are, you know, I'm sure that a lot of artists have had a similar thing, you know, thoughts. Why am I even, you know, playing music and stuff, doing all
absolutely.
This stuff?
And it's a constant thing.
Sure.
Whenever you're only playing music and not doing anything else, like, because just telling people that alone.
Right. Yeah,
some people will just look down on you immediately.
Which is really unfortunate. Well, because as a musician...
It's because of the stigma of, like, the party or crazy musicians.
That's true.
But whenever you're an actual true musician and, you know, and you carry yourself the right way, and then you still get a little bit of that, that's when it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. Because they'll think, you know, when I tell somebody I don't do anything but play music for a living... They immediately think that I just don't want a job. I don't want to work, you know. But it's like, really, I'm working very hard at this.
And in reality, you're not only doing music. You have a small business, mm-hmm. like
a brand.
Not only do I practice harp like every single day for hours, playing scales and reading sheet music and writing my own stuff, I also am booking shows, and I'm an owner of a small business, and I've got to do graphic design and a PR, and at the same time be looking awake for shows and like not smell bad. It's really like, I was talking with Mary Ellen just this morning on the way back from the Folk Alliance conference, how it's, what don't I do as a musician? Well, I'm not quite a doctor. Maybe I know a little bit about homeopathic medicine, you know, and I'm not a dentist, but pretty much anything else, that's my job. I do it all. Marketing.
Yeah, sure.
Advertisement.
You're the boss.
I mean, and that's not, you know, that's any working musician that, right. Well, independent especially.
Yeah, it's a whole other level whenever you take your name and it's now... Like your position as opposed to like something like mine. I mean, you have to do a lot more to like market your brand than I do.
Yeah.
Because it's your baby and it's mm-hmm. it is what you make it, you know.
That's true.
Like
and at the same time, I mean, you know, whether you're a band or an individual, especially if you're an individual, you always have that.
Mm-hmm. No matter who comes and goes.
Yeah.
And that's security. I mean, that's security to keep doing what you're doing, which is very, very vital. And helps to, you know, keep in mind why you're doing this.
Like, for sure. Yeah, like I said, you know, I kind of get these ideas or these thoughts, and I get, I got a call the other night to be on the... on Cornbread show on the local radio station.
And he was on your show too, right?
Yeah, well, I interviewed him before we went on the air, and I used that. So the first half of the show is my interview with him, and then the second half is our on-air stuff. So, yeah, it went really well. I was very pleased. But anyway, just that, so it's kind of like, you struggle sometimes, and then a moment comes along, and it relights that fire, and you're like, and you chase that high again, and you're like, I want to get that again. You know, it's like, and
certainly.
So, like, that's, I don't know. So, it's this crazy roller coaster ride, being an artist or
it really
entertainer
is.
And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To the core level of, oh, am I even good at this?
Right. Yes.
Does anybody like this?
And that seems like such a thought that you wouldn't have, you know? Especially whenever you, like... you do play well, and you kind of, you do know that you're good, but then there's just a little inkling of, well, is it really good, or do I just think it's good? Like,
yeah, and with every song, it's not even, you know, do I know how to play my instrument? Every song is different.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You never know how people are going to respond to it.
Yeah. I tell people, like, you know, if people ask about the show and stuff, and that's how exactly how I say it, like, they're all, every episode's different, you know. And then for one, as to hosting the show, I like to try to keep it fresh for myself, mm-hmm. so I don't get burnout. But,
sure.
And because if I get burned out, then the audience
burns out.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes we play live, sometimes we do tracks, sometimes it's solo artists, sometimes it's a band, sometimes it's comedians. They're all very different episodes. So if we don't like one, flip to the next one. It might, you know, might be something totally different.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And let alone the variety and talent as well, too. So
yeah,
all over the place. But so I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty. I don't know. I just feel like this is my first taste of doing, you know, something like that, creative like this. I wrote a little bit. I wrote a blog for a while, but that wasn't really much to like this level, like when I'm doing the show. But it's like, it's kind of crazy how I feel like so much closer to, you know, let alone again being friends with these people now. Like a year ago, people that have been on the show now are some of my best friends, and we all hang out and stuff. So like, it's really cool to be to meet somebody for you know, and become a, you know, build that connection and stuff and become
Absolutely.
Friends.
Absolutely.
But yeah, having that, having a little bit of, you know, I guess it's quite rewarding to just to build this and watch it to become what it is and things. So I think
you got something great.
Oh, thanks, man.
I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, I you know, I think I imagine it for you is it's probably tenfold to compose, you know, a song and write your lyrics to it and stuff. I mean, you do all the lyrics, right?
Yeah, I do.
And you do.
I do all the lyrics and the melody and the harp, and then on the recordings and when I play live, you know, Drew comes up with some of his own parts and his own style. I had some stuff recorded from other drummers and percussionists, mm-hmm. so he listened to that and took inspiration from those recordings that I had. And then Jeff is an amazing bass player.
He's also, I mean, he's got great ideas for percussion and like great input on that kind of thing. And I mean, he's easy to work with.
He recorded my full length album and my EP. He worked in a recording studio for a while, so that's very lucky for me. So he recorded it and he mixed it and he mastered it, which I know some people would say, don't do that. But he did a great job, and you have to do what you can with your budget.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did.
Stuff costs.
Yeah, I was listening to the full length on the way down, and it's just kind of get me in the mood for tonight. And
mm-hmm.
It sounded great. I was going to ask you about the song, what's it, number two, is it To Do?
Yeah.
Right? I was going to, just because you say a lot of, you know, all these things in the song, and I was going to ask if, how, is that all those pretty true, like, that you,
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Clean and cook and so.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to cook, actually. I guess that's maybe the one thing in there.
A little fib.
I mean, it would be stretching it to say that I am a cook.
Right.
I can make a salad.
Do you watch old SNLs at all? With
Oh, yeah.
When Chris Farley did a... They used to do like a talk show skit on there as the Chris Farley Show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite moments in that was Paul McCartney was either the host or the guest musician or something, but he was Chris Farley's guest on the Chris Farley Show. And he was asking him about Beatles stuff, and he's like, you know, and then but he does the line, you know, they said if you played the record backwards, it was said, Paul is dead. And he's like, that was a hoax, wasn't it? And he goes, Yeah, he's like, I wasn't really dead, you know. But then he asked him, like, he says, in the end, the love you make is equal to the love you take, or something like whatever. I think that's how the line is. And then, so he asked him about that son, you know, and then Chris just like, I'm so stupid, you know, to start slapping himself. It's like, it's funny how, like, he asks these, like, ridiculous questions about these songs, and that's what, so anyway, when I was listening to that song, and you're saying all these lines of, and I was just like, I was just, that's what crossed my mind, are these true, can you really cook, can you water your, you know, do the plant?
I do love plants.
Yeah.
It's somewhat of a new discovery, even though I think I wrote that song before I realized how much I love plants and just seeing things grow. It's sure. Incredible. Sometimes I'll just sit around and look at plants. This sounds like so weird, but I have a room like where I play my harp and practice and write that has a window, and I have a lot of plants in there, and sometimes I'll just sit and look at the plants, and they glow and they sparkle, and I'm usually not, you know, inebriated in any way. It's for real. They're amazing.
Yeah.
So I do love plants. I don't cook. I do sew a little bit. What else do I say in that song?
I like that song. That's a good one. The whole album is very well done. So, compliments to you and Jeff for. I didn't know he mixed and mastered it all.
Yeah.
He did some percussion on it too. On that song, he did percussion.
He did. He played percussion on the album.
Really creative.
He played some Wurlitzer keyboard. He played some guitar, I think. Of course, he played bass. Mm-hmm. He did some singing, and then my sister Mary sang harmony on a lot of it, and my sister Susan sang harmony on it. My brother Robbie played percussion on now.
Yeah.
And so I've got, and then my brother Silas played percussion on Cocoon. So my whole family jumped in there.
Yeah, you got a pretty big family.
Yeah. Well, I'm the oldest of five.
Okay.
And they're all musical.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
I wish they would all quit their going to college and come join me, but...
Yeah, the family band.
Yeah.
We obviously never pursued anything, but it was just that my dad played a little guitar, harmonica, dabbled in piano a little bit, and he was never like... great at any of them, but he likes to, he could entertain himself with it, he says.
Sure.
You know, so he harmonica's probably is the way he shined the best. And but I have memories of as a kid of hanging out and dad be playing guitar, and we would do like Ozark Mountain Daredevils, I've been standing on a run, just waiting for my seeds to grow. And but me and my dad would play, me and my brother would sing it and stuff, and it was so, that was as close as we ever got to the family band. But
yeah.
It was just, it's something really, you know, magical about creating music with, I think, though, with family and stuff.
Oh, yeah, like, it makes family gatherings really fun. Like, sure. my whole family is the same way. My uncle's a really good keyboard player. He can really play, like, anything, but keys is what he usually plays on, like, Christmas and everything, and his my little cousin sings really well and plays guitar, and her brother plays bass, and my dad plays just about everything, so does my mom, and I just go over there with my percussion kit, and we usually for Christmas and stuff just play for grandma and play concerts for grandma, and it makes it so much cooler to share music mm-hmm. with each other, because I mean, not a lot of families can do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Also, playing music and singing with other people in particular, there have been studies that show it really creates a sense of community. Mm-hmm. It creates a bond, even if you don't know the people that you're singing with, which is part of why, like, national anthems happen. Mm-hmm. It creates this instant community, and you're there doing something actively, being part of something with a group of people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, when you're, like, because it's one thing to sing in unison as a big group.
Right.
A song like the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a whole nother sense of connection and community when you start to harmonize.
Yeah.
And it's effective.
Yeah.
That just, like, there's like a little ping in your ear and it just hits you. And
sure.
All of a sudden you just feel like, I don't know, I feel like warm when it happens.
Yeah.
I feel like a warmth coming.
You have your part, you're contributing your part, and everyone's contributing their part. And it's weaving together,
and it's dynamic too. I mean, this, but when you're harmonizing, you can't always, not all the time, is even when in a mix, you know, like the lead vocal is the lead vocal,
right,
and it's going to be a little higher, so you got to adjust, you know, how loud you're going to sing and if that's appropriate for what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's fun, you know, like when it all lines up, it's just like, oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll look to close this thing out. I appreciate you making this happen.
Absolutely.
Glad you hit me up when
Thanks
you were in town
here
and making this happen. This has been a lot of fun, getting to know you a little better. And,
yeah.
And thanks for playing live. That sounded excellent. I'll put those songs in there. And then, of course, if you like what you hear, go on Ruth's website, and I'll have all the links. I'll tag all the stuff on my website on as well, so make it all easy to find. But go out, grab some music. If you iTunes now, she said. If you choose to do that way,
if you can download it from Bandcamp,
if
you're going for the files, because I get a higher percentage of that.
Right. Sure.
So more goes directly to the artist. I do have an EP that you can download, pay what you want. So you can download it for free if you want. It's 3 songs, and it has NASA space sounds at the end. It's awesome! And you can pay what you want for that, which I want people to have it. So if you can't afford to buy my full-length album, download the EP for free. Or if you want to pitch in and help me buy some new harp strings... Then,
pay for some harp insurance.
Yeah, really.
I'll link it all up. And then come out, go to our website, find a show in your neighborhood. So you are from Columbia area, you mentioned, and so imagine you play a lot in there, or you
yeah.
walk the road quite a bit more?
I try not to play too much in Columbia, just... because it's not a gigantic town.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to play there, you know, every few months and get out definitely around Missouri. I'm a member of the Missouri Arts Council list of touring performers. So if you would like to book me and you need funds, you can go through the Missouri Arts Council to hire me through them.
Wow.
They're great.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check out Missouri Arts Council.
Yeah. Sure. And you could always book her for your house concerts.
Yeah.
Too.
If you want me to come play at your house, I'll bring my semi-grand concert pedal harp and I'll sing, and I'll bring Drew if that's cool with
you.
Oh, and, that works.
I'd love to bring Drew with me and Jeff. And
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, well, thanks so much. Hopefully I'll see you again very soon at Cosmic Reunion, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds
awesome.
Like a good time to me.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks all for right. having us on Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah. Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.